ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्ठम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नामने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 24 वर्शिपिंग गोवर्धन हिल टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। वर्तेत ब्रह्मणा विप्रो राज्यो रक्षाय भूभव वैश्यस्तु वार्तया जीवेत् शूद्रस्तु द्विजसेवया। वर्तेत ब्रह्मणा विप्रो राज्यो रक्षया भूभव वैश्यस्तु वर्तया जीवे शूद्रस्तु द्विजसेवया। वर्तेत ब्रह्मणा विप्रो రాజన్యో రక్షయా భువః వైశ్యస్తు వర్తయా జీవే శుద్రస్తు ద్విజసేవయా. వర్తిత లీవ్స్ బ్రహ్మణ by the Vedas, Vipraha, the Brahmana, Rajanyaha, the member of the ruling class, Rakshaya, by protection, Bhuvavaha, of the earth, Vaishyaha, the Vaishya. Tu, on the other hand, Vartaya, by trade, Jivet, lips, Shudraha, the Sudra, tu, and Dvijasevaya, by serving the twice-born Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas. The member of the royal order by protecting the earth, the Vaishyas by trade, and the Sudra by serving the higher twice-born classes. Purport. After glorifying karma or work, Lord Krishna now explains what he means by prescribed duties born of one's nature. He was not referring to any whimsical activity, but rather to the religious duties prescribed in Varnashrama or Vedic social system. Hare Krishna. So this particular verse by Lord Shri Krishna is basically referring to Varnashram. Pastime unfolds in a very beautiful way. And Krishna is speaking so many things. Now he is trying to convince that our activities, the Karma Mimamsa theory, that if you act properly, you will get the results. But what should be the activities? That should be according to Varna. Varna and Ashram. So I thought I'll just say a little bit of my understanding this Varna Ashram system. First I'll like to begin with an offering by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami to Srila Prabhupada in this year's Vyas Puja, Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, Nandoshchav. In this offering, Srila Bhakti Charu Swami, he is writing how he was serving Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan during his final years of stay in this earth. And it is said that during the last days, someone has to be constantly with Prabhupada to take care of him. And the seva, the duty of Srila Bhaktacharya Swami was in the midnight area, like some 12 to 2 or like that, 2 hours, or 11 to 1 o'clock like that. And during those days, because of sickness and different concerns, Srila Prabhupada would hardly, sometimes would not get sleep. And during that time, he would wake up or he would ask Srila Bhaktacharya Swami to come to him, next to him. And he would speak to him from his heart. And Bhaktacharya Swami used to listen very raptly, whatever Mahaprabhupada used to say. So, here there is a reference to Varnasram also, therefore I picked up this particular offering. But it starts in a very nice way. So I would like to read, and so that I don't miss the mood if I speak it, narrate it. Reading is will reflect his mood very nicely, that particular scenario in which it was all spoken. So he writes, I remember one night in Vrindavan, a profound stillness prevailed everywhere. And from a distance, we could hear the sound of a kirtan softly floating through the serene silence of that night. You said, this is India. You said, means Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, this is India. Wherever you go, you can hear the chanting of the holy name. So, you can understand, in the middle of the night, somebody is singing kirtan, and it was all stillness, but still you can hear the kirtan very clearly. It was like purifying experience. So he's saying, Prabhupada is saying, wherever you go in India, you can hear the chanting of the holy name. You kept on speaking about the glory of this land. How fortunate are those who got the human form of life in this holy land. Even the demigods pray to Krishna that if they have any piety left, then in exchange they desire to take birth in this holy land. Then you described how in the age of Kali, everything turns upside down. The most holy places and the most exalted people become the first targets of Kali. That is why India is in such a pathetic state today. This is in 1970. This most glorious land has become most degraded, and the most exalted people have become most fallen. The Brahminical culture has become a rather demoniac culture in the form of the caste system. That is why you had to go to the West, to the most degraded part of the world, to start your Krishna consciousness movement. To counteract Kali's influence, you started your mission from the extreme opposite end. Kali captured the place that used to be the center of spiritual culture of this world, and therefore you decided to form your army from all over the world and move in toward the capital of Kali to eventually crush him along with all his associates, lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy and pride. Then you assured me that in this battle, Kali would not be able to win because the victory is always there for Krishna and his devotees. No matter how formidable our enemy may appear, we are fighting for Krishna and therefore our victory is guaranteed. Another time, again, when you could not sleep at late one night, you were sitting up on your bed and I was massaging your feet. You just started to speak. There is so much to do. I am unable to do anything because of my bad health. I tried to console you, Srila Prabhupada, saying, Srila Prabhupada, what you have done is inconceivable. No one has ever achieved what you have. Now you should just relax. You replied, no. What I have done so far is just 50%. The other 50% is to establish the Varnashram Dharma. It is not that everyone will become a devotee. Those who won't become devotees, for them we need varnashrama. It is not that everyone will be able to surrender to Krishna completely. Those who will act according to the modes of material nature, for them we need varnashrama. You continue to speak. I understood some of what you said, but most of it flew all over my head. But today, so many years later, my realizations are beginning to dawn on me about what you said. ISKCON is here to establish pure devotional service. However, everyone will not be able to come to that very lofty spiritual standard. In fact, most of the people in this world will not be able to follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra every day. Rather, they will opt for a life of furtive work and sense gratification. For them, the spiritual structure of Varnasram Dharma will be absolutely necessary. So, this way, Srila Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj is narrating this his experience of Srila Prabhupada. And we see how Srila Prabhupada is actually speaking that 50% work is not done. Sometimes we may be wondering that those days were very wonderful when Prabhupada was there, those 10 years. 65 to 66 to 60, 76, like that, when the Hare Krishna movement was growing and spreading like wildfire all over the world. And those who served in those time are really something, they have part of the history basically. And we may be thinking we are just maintaining that. But here we see Srila Prabhupada has is kind of inspiring us to that many of the part of the work is not done. The movement is still forming. It has not formed yet. The creation is still going on, creation part. In that 50% work is still remaining. And of course, the maintenance is the biggest challenge, as all of us know. But still, if anybody wants to be part of the creation, it is still on. And Srila Prabhupada is saying this varnashrama is a necessity and we cannot avoid it. So therefore, it is a kind of responsibility on all of us who try to propagate the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and follow a lifestyle based on his teachings to understand varnashrama and try to bring that order in society. That is the responsibility. So, if you see now this is something we can call a movement, because what is not in society, if we're trying to bring it, kind of revolution, whatever it is basically a kind of movement. So, varnashrama is lost. To bring it back will require a movement. Prabhupada used to say there are four movements. His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Swami, who is like actually very much a proponent of varnashrama, he says in one letter Prabhupada writes that four movements Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna movement has four subsidiary movements or major movements within itself. And one he says that is the propagation of chanting of Hare Krishna. Then he says propagation of deity worship movement, deity worship movement. Third is the initiation process, that is congregational preaching, inspiring people to take up Krishna consciousness. These three are happening. And the fourth is, he says, bring a classless society. That's the word Prabhupada is. Classless society movement. Or basically varnashrama. So if we want to create a revolution, or if anybody wants to see the history, how it happens in society, that there has to be a a proper education system. Foreign has to very systematically teach people about the importance of what the philosophy they are trying to propagate. So you have to understand, you have to educate, then comes the application part. Then gradually we try to. So therefore, although it is a messy subject, you know, varnashram, it's very difficult to tell people. Some people who are working, devotees outside or the studying, they don't know what they are, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishudra, whatever it is. They really have find a hard time to connect them or relate them to any of these varna. And then they say, what should I do? There is a boss and this and that, so many things. So they're not able to, they're very confused. So how to apply is a challenge. But that is the last part of this change, application. The first part is to understand, understand what it is, and then educate, then apply and form a kind of revolution or movement, whatever it is. So the first part I'll try to trying to understand and then share this is what is this varnashrama? And this word varna in Sanskrit, just like we explain religiosity or dharma, the different words we use, they have meaning. Nothing in Vedic culture is without meaning. So varna basically refers to cover or envelope. So this, when you say varna of a particular person, it is not meaning to the person or the spirit soul living within. Spiritual nature is always different from the varna. It is constitutionally Krishna Nityadas. That is Jivatma. But what covers him up is constituted as varna, or the modes. So varna, basically that comes from the Vru Dhatu, which means to envelop. Or the outward appearance, exterior, form, figure, shape, color, etc. Then color, race, kind, so many things comes. So the earliest application to the formal divisions into four social classes is called varna. And also, this is referred not only in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagaj. But also, this origin of this varnashrama we will find in Purushasukta prayers, which are there in the Rig Veda. Purushasukta prayers. I was wondering what is this word, meaning of the word Sukta, because in kitchen we cook Sukta. That is something different, which is a favorite dish of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here this word Sukta means some. Like Vedas are called also Shruti, because it is heard and through oral reception it is realized, revealed through sound, Shruti. And within the Shrutis, this sound form comes in a very beautiful poetic meter, and they are called basically Sukti. There is Ukti and Sukti. Sukti means to hear, Ukti means to speak. And those beautiful verses, compilation, in one particular chapter, something called Suktas. So Purusha Sukta basically describes the kind of creation in a beautiful poetical form in Rig Veda, Purusha Suktas. And within that also we see how the Brahmanas are actually born from the face of the Lord or mouth of the Lord. The Kshatriyas refer to the arms, Sudras refers to the belly, Vaishyas refers to the belly, and Sudras are born from the feet of the Lord. Asudras born from the thighs of the Lord, and Vaishyas born from the thighs of the Lord, and Sudras born from the feet. Srila Prabhupada also says this varnashram basically refers to how society is likely equal to a body, where each part has a role, each part is contributing, and each part is active. There is no unemployment. Each part is active. So this is there in the Shastra. Krishna says that actually I have created varnashram. So then one may wonder, what is this purpose of this Varnashrama? So we always say Varnashrama Dharma, right? Just like the soul's dharma, or the Jivatma dharma is to Krishna Nityadas, which cannot be, what is dharma means something that cannot be separated from the particular object's dharma. Just like we cannot separate heat from fire. They are together always. Like we are discussing about Radhashtami previously, that how Srimati Radharani is the internal potency of the Lord. Right? She is the swarup of pleasure potency. So Radha Krishna are inseparable. And similarly, the dharma basically means that which cannot be separated. We cannot separate fire from, or heat from fire. They come together. Similarly, what is this Varnashram dharma? If we speak of society, this society, dharma of society is basically Varnashram. It has to be there. It cannot separate. So in the modern day context, Srila Prabhupada explains that there is always a Brahminical class, the thinkers, the philosophers, the people who guide, from consultants basically. They're the Brahminical class. And the scientists also. Because they shape the way the society is going to work. That is the Brahminical class. Then second is the administrative class, the leaders, the political leaders, the kind of administrator, the managers. They are like Kshatriya. And the Vaishyas are the business class, is always there. And all those who work in these departments are Sudra, those who support the system. So in general, of course, we will find that this intellectual class, the Brahminical class in a society is always a small section. It is not predominant. It is a small section by number. Same as with the politicians and same with the Vaishyas. The mercantile is little less, little more. But the largest section of the society is basically constitute of working class. So therefore, if the society does not understand what are the burners and how they are supposed to work, then it is very difficult to function in a proper way. This is something very much necessary. So the human society has certain dharma or social order. When you speak human society, animal society is different. But as soon as you speak of human society, then it has to have certain dharma, and that dharma is Varnashram. So, human society has certain dharma or social order inherently attached to it. Inherently, it is inbuilt. And that can never be separated from it. That is Varnashram dharma. Now, the varna refers to the characteristics of the quality of one that one person possesses. It's the intrinsic nature or svabhava, and the associated activities and ashram refers to. This is one thing. The varna ashram, two things. One is varna, the other is ashrama. Varna means the, as I said, the exterior, or the inbuilt nature or qualities of a person, svabhava. So this something, again, born of the nature one has acquired from the material, from Prakriti, from material nature. Everybody acquires a certain nature. And this is gifted by the Lord, because Krishna says, Chaturbarna Maya Srushtam, that he awards that. But is the Lord, is the one who is putting us in this material nature? Is he responsible for that? The answer is no. The answer is, because we develop certain desires, and accordingly, a nature is awarded.
to fulfill that desire. Krishna says, I am the creator of the system, but I am not the one who is putting you inside. You are the one who choose to be there. So therefore, having acquired certain nature, we should not feel bad. We should understand this is my desire, and accordingly I am avoided this situation. And how am I going to use it back? That is should be the attitude. So then what is the ashram? Ashram means basically shelter. Now, this shelter basically refers to the which philosophy of life one is committed to or one is inspired by. So, varnashram can be, the ashram can be the basis, the philosophy by which I want to follow this varna or social order. Could be atheistic or could be theistic. If it is atheistic, still there is, varnas are still respected, people work in particular order, social order. But the varnashram system that Prabhupada is referring to is called Daiva varnashram. Daiva means theistic. For the philosophy or the ashram is basically to inspire a person to take a Krishna conscious life or God-centered life. And accordingly, save his activities or dovetail his activities for the pleasure of the Lord. So, one may argue, what is the problem with an atheistic varnashram? Why God has to be there? Because if you accept an atheistic varnashram dharma, then it is likely that the things will go in a degraded way. Then people may follow a certain order, certain moral system, moral code, so that the society functions nicely. Everybody contributes. But if there is the picture, if one removes God from the picture, that system, then things can potentially degrade. Because of lust and greed. Then one may say, well, in Daiva system also, in God consciousness also, there will be degradation. There can be degradation also. But the thing is, in a Daiva system, one can recover from the degradation very quickly. There is a way or system in which one can recover from the degradations. And after recovering, he is not lamenting, he is happy and enthusiastic that he has actually recovered and he is willing to contribute further. But in a atheistic social system, degradation will be very difficult to rectify because there is no higher example or authority or personality by whom we can be inspired. Lord Sri Krishna is always pure. So if I want to become freed from the Daiva varnashram system, inherently has this system by which one is willing to purify continuously from this greed and lust and all these enemies, which is the cause of degradation. So therefore, although one may desire in an atheistic system to get purified, but there is no impetus. Impetus is only from within, and the degradation is also from within. So there is a big battle, very difficult. Therefore we can see, although the communist social order, although it was willing to benefit people, we have seen in recent history, in a system without God in the picture, but eventually it collapsed. And every leader was actually found to be degraded in that system. So therefore, we have to understand this Daiva Varnashram system is something that we need for a society to function very smoothly. So, it is said within the varnashram, Daiva varnashram, how the purity is maintained. Everybody speaks of economic development, and there is a need also. People wants to prosper. Those who are in fruitive mentality, not taking to pure devotional service, they always want to grow. And there is nothing wrong with that, provided the growth is not in a degraded way or in a wrong way. So it is explained that throughout the history, if a nation wants to prosper, there are three ways it can do. One is attack another country, plunder their wealth. Okay, so you become richer. But that is basically thievery or plundering. Not a very good one. Second is do commerce or do business and grow your wealth through business, mercantile activities. But then that is actually cheating. Fundamentally speaking, it is cheating. You cheat others and become richer. That is also not a nice system. The another is basically through agriculture. Agriculture means you are sowing few seeds, but in return what you are getting is many bigger crops. So it is actually growth. It is a growth. And therefore our traditional system is basically agriculture based. The growth, cow protection, Kursi Goraksha Vanijyam. And the business is basically based on these two things. Kursi Goraksha. So then one may argue that then how can you claim that in your history the whole world was ruled by India at one point of time, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Lord Ramchandra. The answer is not that our rulers conquered other places and took their plunder their whole thing. If you see the Ashwamedha Yajna system, the horse will be taken throughout the different lands, different nations. There will be a challenge. Either you accept our sovereignty or fight with us. So the idea was not to war and win them over, but rather the force was implicated, a force was implied on them, implored on them to accept a certain system of philosophy, basically. That you should live your life according to this Vedic culture, that's all. This is a cultural invasion. There was no question of looting their thing and bringing it to India. If you study in Indian or if there is any architecture excavation done, you will not find anything from any other part of the world in India. But you may find those Indian things all over the world. You know, but outside things you will not find here. Throughout the history, it was like that. So, So Varnashram helps to grow economically. At the same time, it keeps everyone in their particular nature and soul of Krishna. This is a very long topic. So few more things. So what is ideal Varnashram basically is that where a Brahmana is not proud. So what happens when we speak of this Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishudra, because of the corrupt caste system in India, like Prabhupada mentions, we connect it very wrongly to the concepts and we feel we don't want to be part of it, even today. So as soon as we speak of Brahmanas, we in our mind, the imagination is created where we see how Brahmanas are exploitative. But actually, the qualities of Brahmanas are very nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Samadama taposocham shantir arjavam evacha. That he is under any circumstance, he is not disturbed. Equanimity is there, sama. Dama means his senses are controlled. Tapa means he is willingly, happily does austerity. Not bothered about sense gratification. Socha means always clean inside and outside. All these qualities are there. And definitely there is no question of pride. So when the Brahmanas are not proud, that is the ideal Brahmana. We have to see it from other angle. And Kshatriya is not exploitative in Varnasram system. Doesn't exploit. He serves the people to prosper. A Vaishya is not greedy. He is not greedy. He tries to evade taxes and all those things. He also exploits other. And Sudras are not depressed. They don't lamentable situation. So if you see, every qualities of a personality in particular nature has all those things which it can use to serve in a very nice way. That is called positive aspect of a personality. But the very same qualities can also drive him to a negative side. So Brahmana can become potentially proud because of the respect they derive naturally from people. The pride can enter potentially. So when that Svabhava is not particularly engaged in Krishna's service, then one can enter into that other side and create problems. So that's why Prabhupada says it is all topsy-turvy, upside down. But it is also essential for everybody to understand their nature and act accordingly, contribute positively. So when a person understands what is my quality and how I can use it best in Krishna service, in social service basically, then that person will always be happy and satisfied. Krishna says again and again in Bhagavad Gita that we should always act according to our Svabhava. He speaks it again and again. I think at least twice he has spoken. And paradharma bhayavaya. Sometimes we may be a little successful by doing something which is not our Svabhava, but in long run it will fail. In long run it will create bigger problems. Sometimes it may give success. Doing something which is not our dharma, if you do, sometimes it may be successful, but long run it cannot help us. Whereas if one fails in his own activities for some time, but in long run he'll be successful. It is guaranteed. Doing one's particular dharma. There may be failures, there may be, you know, things. But if one continues to act for a long term basis, then definitely there will be success. So therefore, this system, which is basically Varnasram system, we have to learn more about it, its glories, its understand them, educate them and try to bring it, because this is Prabhupada says 50% work not done. And when people understand that everyone in such a system is happily engaged, then people will actually take it up. So now it may be very difficult because somebody may be working loyally to his boss. You know, they may say, okay, I have of Sudra nature. I can engage myself. But the boss is not Brahminical. There will be frustration. Are you getting the point? And that's why people are not encouraged to take it. But still, if one continues in his own nature, probably even if the boss is not happy, ultimately he will be happy and satisfied. So somewhere it has to be started. That is the point. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samrata Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Tayagar Premanande.